I am moving. I didn't realize that I still need to live in Arizona.
Oh, you're going back home? Why?
I moved to California in 1989, and now it's time for me to go back because there's a very real possibility that the next Arizona governor might be fat actor Steven Seagal.
Wow, who could be more qualified?
Steven Seagal, who you know we love. This is a guy who did martial arts movies, mm-hmm. Under Siege and stuff like that, a bunch of two-word and three-word titles for what, 80s and 90s?
Yeah, he was very popular for a long time. He was quite the big action star, but lately it seems like all we've seen him on is law enforcement reality TV shows. That seems to be where he spends most of his time.
Yeah, and he's got a new one called Steven Seagal Lawman Maricopa County.
Ooh.
So he was doing an interview on a Phoenix TV station and said this.
Joe Arpaio and I were talking about me running for governor. I suppose I would remotely consider it, but probably I would have a lot more other responsibilities, a lot of other responsibilities that may be more important to address.
Sweetheart. Like speaking up. You know,
I don't know what any of that meant.
If immigration is as big issue as we heard yesterday from Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat, wouldn't being the Arizona governor be the single best job to have if you're trying to improve immigration control in Arizona?
I would think so.
And seems like being the governor's where exactly where you'd want to be.
And the guy talking is a no-nonsense sheriff that gets a lot of crap, or I don't know what he is in Arizona, but he's the guy that's trying to talk him into running. And if he becomes the governor, sayonara, people.
I know. Who can blame him? Well, we wanted to find out more about Governor Seagal, so I believe we have Steven Seagal on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Steven. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Did we catch you at a bad time?
No. Not at all. Why do you say that?
Well, it just sounds like you might be in the middle of some yoga or meditation or something.
I am constantly in meditation. I keep my spirit open to the entire world at all times.
Does that music play 24/7?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm always open to my surroundings. Mm-hmm. Because when you're a sheriff, when you're a crime fighter, uh-huh. Right. You need to be aware of everything in your surroundings.
Right.
Okay.
Both your assailant and also the situation that you find yourself in.
I see.
Because all things are potential weapons or potential shields.
Okay.
And I think that anything that you can use at your disposal,
right,
is important to be prepared for.
Now, what was all that mumbo-jumbo about having more important things to do?
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, he's been trying to convince me to run for governor in the great state of Arizona.
Right.
And I think I have more...
What is that?
Important. That's responsibility.
It's the noise he made in the interview to the TV station.
I know, but my question is, what is that? Is it a stroke? What's going on with you, Stephen? Are you okay?
Sometimes the spirit moves me.
I see.
Sometimes being aware of all your surroundings at one time can be an influx.
Be overwhelming, probably.
Exactly.
I imagine.
Because my senses are heightened.
Right. Right.
Being a Shaolin master.
Yeah.
I'm aware of all things at all times.
Everything is a weapon. Everything is a shield, bro.
Exactly.
So, Governor Seagal, if that were to happen, if you were to be Governor Seagal, what changes would you make in the state of Arizona? What would you like to see different in your state?
Hello,
Steven. You all right,
Governor Seagal?
What's happening?
Are you laughing?
Sorry.
Something funny is coming in that we none of us know about.
Did Omar drop trow in there? What happened?
The universe just told me something very funny.
What was it?
I can't share.
Share it with us.
I can't because you're not a Shaolin master. First thing I would do in Arizona, given the opportunity, kill all the Mexicans.
What are you talking about? Obviously, genocide. What's happening here?
They're not above the law.
A movie title.
Okay, that was one of your films.
All right. Another movie title that you're in. I don't know how much time you spent in Arizona, but it's 99% Mexican.
See?
That's See what?
Right there.
No, it seems to be working perfectly.
That's why Governor Steven Seagal would change things.
I'm not sure we're looking for the next Hitler.
I got to be honest. It doesn't seem right.
Mexicans will be under siege.
The movie title.
All right. But, of course, being a Buddhist.
Yeah, how does that work?
I'm torn between peace and love,
mm-hmm.
and murder and genocide.
Well, sounds like you have some issues to work out before we can seriously consider. Yeah,
but
not at all.
Being a Buddhist, of course. Being a Buddhist.
You okay, Steve?
Being a Buddhist.
I'll have to consult.
What?
I'll have to consult with my higher power.
Who's your higher power?
I have to sit down with my llama.
Your llama? Your llama gives you direction. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
What's weird about that dating site is it sounds a lot like me.
I know what you're talking about, man.
It's kind of crazy.
I didn't see any resemblance whatsoever to anything going on in my life, but thanks. Hey, I love that Fits in the Tantrums, by the way.
I do, too.
Just song after song. Every time we play a new record from them, it's great. That one is called The Walker here on K-Rock. Imagine Dragons coming up. Also, some No Doubt and Cage the Elephant this hour. This is going to be a great segment because every couple of years, we invite you, the Kevin and Bean listener, to call in and tell us about misdirected texts. You sent a text to, well, you thought you were sending it to person A, and instead, hilariously, you sent it to person B, and it didn't go over as well.
Or person B through Z. Like, it's a mass. Right. You send it out to a bunch of people, most of whom you really didn't want to see that.
Yeah, it's a super easy thing to do. I mean, let's face it. We're so, you know, on our phones all the time, and so we think we're so fast and so good and so nimble with our fingers that sometimes we're just blazing and we don't realize what we're doing. There are so many stories, by the way, of people who have done this before. Listen to this one, for instance. My wife sent me a text message asking what I wanted for dinner. I had forgotten that we were having the family over for dinner that night. I sent her a picture of my penis and asked her if that's what she wanted for dinner. Well, it turned out I sent it to her entire family because I did not see that she had asked me on a group text.
I realized it
and thought about driving into oncoming traffic on my way home from work that night. I mean, that's exactly the perfect example of somebody who's just in a hurry to respond with something funny and doesn't realize that it's going to everybody on the list.
Do you guys remember? I don't think it was last year. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago at Coachella. And I have problems at Coachella, let's be honest.
And you have problems with texting, even when you're not at Coachella.
Yeah, my communication skills are shaky at best, and then you add Coachella to it. So I was texting Omar over and over, like, hey, are you coming out or not? What's going on, effer? And then I didn't hear anything, and I was like, you used every curse word in the book, because that's how Omar and I talk. And it was, I was probably 4 or 5 texts in before somebody texted back, this isn't Omar. Would you please stop texting me?
Oh, my God.
Literally said, would you please stop texting me?
But that's, in a way, though, if you're going to have to misdirect a test, that's best case scenario because at least it wasn't somebody you knew that could have been embarrassing for you. At least it was a stranger. You just annoyed somebody else rather than embarrassing
yourself.
Yeah,
that is a lot better than sending it to somebody who it can actually do damage to.
Right. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a story about sending a text to the wrong person, and the reason we thought about this is I was catching up with a friend of mine on the phone last week who was coming to April Foolishness. He was going to be at the show on Saturday. So I called him on the phone last week and I said, hey, who are you bringing? And he explained to me that he had been seeing this new girl and that she was really hot and that he was looking forward to bringing her to the show. He said, I can send you some pictures if you want to see them, but I'm going to warn you, they're a little bit, you know, a little bit racy. You may want to delete them afterwards. Well, I'm no fool. I said, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you're going to ask Bean that if he wants to see those and maybe they're a little shady.
Yeah, right.
He's
so
all
I
over
said,
that.
Yeah. So like 5 minutes goes by. And he calls back and he goes, dude, did you get the pictures that I sent you? And I said, no, I haven't gotten anything. And he said, there was a pause. He said, oh, I think I just did a terrible thing. I think I just sent those pictures to my wife. Now, wives and girlfriends, not a good match.
In general, they don't get along.
No, not a good match at all. He'd been having some problems with his wife, sort of separated, but in that nebulous gray area of who knows where it's going to go next. In his mind, he knew where it was going to go next, and it involved this hot chick.
Right.
In her mind, maybe she didn't need to find out about it that way that he was dating somebody.
Oh, that's the worst, especially if they have different expectations.
Yes.
It's not like they both said, we need to get a divorce, let's move on.
Yes.
It was still up in the air until the text meant for Bean.
text arrived. I hope at least the wife acknowledged what a great ass the girlfriend has. I hope that happened.
Now I'm going to doubt it. I'm just going out on a limb. I'm guessing just like you are, but I'm going to say no.
So that's what we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Thought you were texting one person, texted someone else. Let's try Robin to get us going here. She is on line one, and she's definitely one of our people. Hey, Robin.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
I had a fight with my boss, so I texted my boyfriend and I said, Diana is a B word, and I accidentally sent it to Diana.
The one that you were just fighting with?
Yeah, and she was like my direct boss, and so she texted me back with question marks, and I just had to say, like, I'm really sorry, I was frustrated about our fight, and I was just venting to my boyfriend, like, I didn't mean to cause you any disrespect, and she just went on like it was inappropriate, but I kept my job, so that was cool.
Really? That's a pretty cool boss.
Yeah.
No, she was the B word.
Even now. Wow.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Robin. Let's go to Jennifer. She's on line six. Again, in your worst nightmare category when it comes to text. Jennifer, what happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to send a text to this guy I've been hooking up with and sent it to my son's friend who had the same name as the guy.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
How old was your son?
I think it was about 15 at the time.
Okay, even worse.
Oh,
okay.
God, what happened?
Because 8, you know, that's a disaster. But 15, now he's going to save that for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. It's been mortifying. I can't live it down.
How extreme was it?
Very descriptive. Let's just put it like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Good
All right.
times.
He's thinking, wow, your mom is awesome, dude.
It's a
can't believe
every
it.
Day.
She's the best.
All right, let's go to Audrey. She's on line three. By the way, a lot of ladies involved in the accidental text. I'm sure it happens to everybody, but so far it's been all girls. Hi, Audrey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
You sent the text to the wrong person. Who was it?
So basically, there is this guy that was in my class who kept kind of bothering me, and he was kind of annoying, but he was really smart, so I was getting like free tutoring. And I was making sure to not send him the wrong, like, kind of vibes or anything.
Right.
Because he has a boyfriend. Except for when I went lingerie shopping, and my boyfriend has the same name. And I was sending descriptive texts about what I was going to do with the new lingerie that I was buying.
Right.
And so he just didn't leave me alone for 3 years.
Oh, my God. For three? You explained to him it wasn't meant for you?
Yeah, but he was just so convinced that it was, I was just fighting my emotions.
Oh, no.
That's fantastic. Now that he knows how you feel about him, he's never going to let you go. That's fantastic.
That was before I changed my phone number, so I still think that way.
Wow, you had to go the whole way. I love it.
All right, Audrey, thanks for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was drunk. I thought I was sending my girlfriend Monica the text, "What color panties are you wearing?" Instead, I sent it to my mother.
Oh.
The reply 3 minutes later, black. We have never spoken about this since. I think that's wise. All right, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. More calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, I texted a YouTube video of a guy doing one-armed push-ups. I thought I was sending it to my girlfriend, but instead I sent it to my boss, who lost his arm in a biking accident.
Oh, nice.
Oh, what a mock.
He was a good sport about it. He said, well, I'm going to have to try that out. Thanks. He laughed about it for a while and said that everybody had always avoided talking about his arms, so it actually worked out fine. He's a great guy. By the way, he also ran a half marathon with my girlfriend and me. He is a rock star. So that one didn't work out too badly. But we're taking your stories of where you sent the text to the wrong person, the person you did not intend it to go to, and it was not great.
The story that kicked it off was a friend of ours who sent the text pictures of the girlfriend to the wife. And
yes,
that didn't seem like that perhaps was the best idea.
By the way, apparently with some wives, that's uncool, to which I say, why are you so uptight? Hey, let's go to Allison. She's on line one. She'll get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. This is fun because this didn't happen to us. This only happened to
her.
Yeah,
that's always the best. Mm-hmm. Hey, Allison.
Hi.
What did you send and who did you send it to wrongly?
Okay, so I work in the human resources department, and we had just hired a new employee, and I'm her boss, and I was texting her late at night regarding work, and I was also texting my husband. I sent my husband a full body naked picture, and when I was hitting send, I saw her name at the top, and I saw the little bubble going across that I was sending to her, and I just started panicking, because I was like, oh my gosh, she's brand new in our department.
Wait, and you're in HR?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're the best HR guy ever.
Yeah, I was so mortified and so embarrassed. And
so how did she react when she got it? I hope she wrote you back and said, I'm in.
Yeah.
What time?
I just wrote her back and like immediately after the picture sent, and I said, please don't look at it. It's the iPhone, so all you have to, you still see the picture no matter what. And she said, I just won't open it. And I said, I know you will. Just, I'm so embarrassed. And she's like, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It's totally fine. And she was really cool about it and made me feel extremely comfortable that I was the one that was mortified because I'm her boss.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And she couldn't very well report it to HR either, so.
Yeah, she could have. You would have said, yeah, I look pretty good, don't I?
All right, Allison, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, my dear. Let's go to CJ. He is on line two, and he's up next.
Hi, CJ.
Morning, everyone. How's
you
doing?
Accidentally sent the text to somebody else. Who?
Actually, I was the victim of this text.
All right.
I was about 17, and I was at school, and I get a random text from my dad. Saying that he wants to do all these nasty things to my stepmom.
No. Oh, you don't need to know about that.
I did not want to know about it at all. It was very disturbing and awkward, and I called him out on it later, telling him he needs to watch what he sends in his text messages. And I'm pretty sure he was just as embarrassed as I was.
Of course.
I'm sure he was. Look,
you should have texted back. Let me know how that goes.
here's the policy. We don't ever want to think of our parents having sex ever. If they did, they did it one time
right.
to get pregnant with us, and that was the last time they ever did it or thought about it. That's the way it's supposed to be, and we're supposed to be able to have that pure thought of our folks.
Yeah.
Exactly. You want to keep your head clear for the rest of your life. You don't ever want to think about
that. Yeah, because once you see that, you can never go back.
Exactly. That'll Thank you so much forever. For the call. Appreciate that, CJ. Let's jump down to line four, please. This is going to be Derek. He had something completely different but just as embarrassing.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
What was the text? Who'd you send it to?
Okay, so one of my friends, she always sends, you know, awesome pictures of food and stuff like that. And usually to me, and so I thought it was nothing different, she sent a picture of some Black Forest ham, and I was like, oh, delicious. And I'm a black guy, so I thought this was a perfect opportunity. So I took a picture of my butt, and then I sent it and said, how about these Black Forest hams? And
I like your response. Man. You did the right thing. But
So I didn't, you know, I looked again, and then I can see on the top there's multiple numbers, like probably the maximum amount. And I was just like, oh, like what? Who did I just send this to? There's a bunch of numbers I didn't recognize, and who knows? Like, luckily nothing really happened, nothing really came of it. But I still, that was extremely embarrassing for me, and like, you know, I was kind of freaking out for a second.
So Derek, what you're saying is that 20 people who may not even know you all of a sudden got a picture of your ass on their phone.
Yes.
Yeah, and with the message, what do you think of this Black Forest ham?
Come on, that's awesome. Well done, sir. Well done. Thank you so much for the call. Let's move along now. We got Kyle on line five. He's up next.
Turns out a lot of people have done this.
Yeah.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
What happened?
Yeah, I sent my now wife, fiance at the time, a picture of her engagement ring 3 days before I proposed.
Oh, aww. Dude.
Oh, that's a bummer, but it's not getting details on your dad's sex life or anything.
No.
I mean,
yeah, who are you true. Trying to send it to?
I was just talking to my buddy, you know, making the old, hey, look what I'm about to do.
And then your buddy was sending back, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So essentially, you ended up proposing to your girlfriend via text message.
Well, I had this big old elaborate thing scheduled, so I'm a really good BS spinner, so I just spun it around until she got sad that I wasn't looking at rings for real.
Gotcha. All right. So
well played. Fixed
with a lie. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Sylvia. She's on line eight. She's up next.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hello.
Hi.
You okay?
Hey, yeah.
What's happening?
All right.
I got choked up there.
Okay.
But anyways, probably like a few months ago, my ex-boyfriend now, I started texting. I had texted him about doing something, and he started texting his brother topless new girlfriend.
He sent his brother topless pictures of his nude girlfriend?
No. He was talking about his new girlfriend to his brother.
Right.
Where'd you get the topless photos, Kevin?
I don't know. Her phone cut out. I was trying to figure out what she was saying.
We were all hoping for topless photos.
Yeah, it's probably
I don't think we had them yet.
Just the hope.
So instead of sending the information to his brother, he sent it to you. So that's how you found out about his new girlfriend.
Yes, exactly. That he was cheating on me.
Good times.
Nice.
Good times indeed. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that, Sylvia. One more. How about Kathy? Line three, please.
Could have been topless.
Hi, Kathy.
Should have been.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good.
Good.
What happened?
Well, I accidentally, me and my husband are pretty good about texting explicit things back and forth to each other. Well, my 19-year-old son at the time, who's now 21, was texting me at the same time. And unfortunately, he got the really explicit text about what I was going to do to his dad.
Oh, my God.
And he responded back with, "Mom?" Question mark, question mark. And I'm like, oh, my God, I am panicking. I'm calling my husband. I'm going, oh, my God, I just sent Sean this. I can't believe I did this. How am I going to pull it back? And my son just looked at it the next day when I saw him. He goes, "Mom, I started to read it." He goes, "I just deleted it." He goes, "I'm scarred for life."
Yeah. Yeah. There's a therapist couch in his future. Now that I know how much sexy time is going on text messages, I got to get me a job at the NSA.
Yeah, because they get to see all that.
All that.
Yes.
Because you'll never get one.
Can you imagine, though? That would be an awesome job.
It would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Kathy, keep doing what you're doing.
You're doing the right thing, except for the whole sending it to the sun thing.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Here's a story. You know how you see those commercials for various products, that medical products with a side effect of an erection that lasts more than 4 hours? We've all seen those commercials, laughed at those commercials, joked about those commercials.
Right.
And I guess we didn't realize how serious it is if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours. Apparently, it can be very dangerous.
Can I just butt in here and say, this isn't about you, right?
Most definitely is not.
Okay. It's not about me.
Continue.
This is a man in Australia who was involved in a mountain bike accident. He fell on the crossbar of his mountain bike.
Ouch.
And he was in a great deal of pain, had a great deal of bruising, but within a few days of the accident, he developed in what is referred to by the physicians as a rigid erection. Now, you would think, first of all, that's weird. I don't understand the blood flow that would create something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was in no way aroused. This story has nothing to do with sexuality. This is just an erection beyond his control.
Maybe he just loved that bike.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps. Maybe there's something mental going on. One of the most surprising parts of this story is the next paragraph that begins, 5 weeks later, the man finally sought help at the hospital.
No way.
So he had a continuous erection?
Yes.
For five weeks.
Wow.
Didn't he see the commercials that said if an erection persists more than 4 hours, go to your doctor? 5 weeks he waited to go.
He had to ask somebody, a friend, somebody, what do you think I should do?
Let's say you didn't see the commercial and you don't have any friends.
After
a full week.
After a day, don't you go?
I mean, can you go to the bathroom?
That's what I was thinking also, is they don't even address that in the article. How does he pee?
Probably not.
You can't.
He'd have to. You can't not pee for 5 weeks. He must have been able to eke it out. So he goes to the hospital. He's diagnosed with high-flow priapism. No other injuries, by the way, but priapism is just the medical term for an erection that lasts more than 3 hours, which is usually very painful. It was an anxious time for the patient, as it would be for any young man, said Dr. Roden Brown, a radiologist at the hospital. Doctors first tried to treat the man's condition with, quote-unquote, manual compression that gave him temporary relief.
This is where it gets bad.
But his penis rapidly refilled with blood to full tumescence. So they tried that. It works temporarily. Ah, he's so relieved that, boom, right back up. For the next 2 weeks, he was treated with a pressure dressing. But as soon as it was removed, his erection sprang back again. Oh, this guy has an erection that will not quit, by the way.
Man, oh, man. There's a lot of old people in this country he should share that with.
Why didn't he just have the world's most awesome porn career for the course of those 2 months, right? The man's problem was finally cowed into submission when hospital staff inserted gel foam and 4 tiny platinum coils into the abdominal connection between an artery and a vein that supplies blood to the penis, which had been damaged in the bike accident, and that has been effective. We are very happy with the outcome, Dr. Brown said. The man reported back 1 month after the procedure and says that he's back to normal.
By the way, in the very next time there's a super hot chick, you know, walking by, or you meet her at work or something, and you start getting an erection, you go, oh, no.
Yes. I bet you are terrified the first time you get a regular erection. Absolutely, yeah. That's a 7-week erection that young man in Australia endured. So there you go.
There you go.
Good times.
Not good times. Yeah, they were all yellow. Yeah. How long did you wait? Nobody said it was easy. I never meant to cause you trouble. Let's go flying at the speed of sound to show you how it all began. You can take a picture of something you see.
Then 1 hour from right now, once again, we'll have tickets for you to see Coldplay, UCLA's Royce Hall, this Monday night, completely sold out. We've been giving them away all week long. So at 9 o'clock this morning, give you a chance to call in. One of the people, a listener of the Kevin and Bean Show, who will be there already, he's got his ticket, is in front of us now. He sings for the band Coldplay, and he is Chris Martin, joining us here on K-Rock. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
Chris, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
And great to see you.
It's
again,
great to
my
see
friend.
You guys, and I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have
it's
you.
It's been a couple of years.
It has.
I'm very grateful that you still want to talk to me.
It has indeed, and your band has been together now for almost, 15 years or something like that?
Yeah, actually, it's coming up for 18 that we've been, friends.
I have heard you say lately that the group gets along better now than ever before. Please tell us what the secret of that is.
Well, how long have you guys been together?
Too long. Way too long.
No, but that's why Dean isn't in our studio.
But how long is it really?
The first day of 1990.
Yeah.
It's been almost 25 years.
25
years. So we're well past our expiration date.
But no, man, it's one of us moved away so the rest of us could breathe.
Well, to be fair, we've done the same thing.
Okay.
We live in different cities sometimes, and then when we get together, it makes it much more valuable and precious time. So I'm sure when the two of you see each other, it's much more romantic.
Oh, it's hugs and kisses.
Special.
Are you sure?
Roses. Yeah.
And so when we get together as a group, it's very focused, and we really, I think now more than ever, we appreciate our job.
I'm so fascinated, particularly with musical units where everybody contributes to the band. The fact that you could stay together so long and continue to all grow and agree on the direction and be able to kind of continue to support each other. I mean, that's something you should be very proud of.
I think it's something we're very grateful for. What happened was that when we first got signed, someone said something to us which made us question our chemistry, and so we fired our drummer, Will, for 2 days.
This was 2 days?
1998.
Okay.
And I woke up in a cold sweat because it had been me that was the sort of protagonist, and I was like, this is a big mistake. And so I called Will and said, is there any way you'd give us one more chance? I'm so sorry. And he said, I'll give you one more chance. And so from that day forward, we've always shared all the money and all the credit. And that's why we never fall out about those things, which is traditionally how you might end a band.
Yeah.
How about that?
You told us, I think, a couple of years ago that as far as musical direction, Will and you kind of butt heads every once in a while, but you were able to agree and move on.
Well, we have the four of us, and then we have our best friend, Phil, who's like our creative director, and he is very good at stopping the headbutts before people start really getting concussion. So when he feels that there's a real tension over a song or over a pair of trousers...
you fight over trousers?
Yeah, we do, because, now I just follow Will and Guy, our rhythm section's sartorial lead. They sort of will be wearing what they feel like would be appropriate for the next album, and then I just start wearing
it. And then you go, okay, I'll do
smart.
That too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Ghost Stories is the new record, and it's a beautiful album, by the way. And I was surprised, and I mean this as a complete compliment. It's so down-tempo, but it surprised me how much so it was. I mean, I'm sure you had other songs that were up-tempo, but you decided to make it the way it is. Why?
Well, I just felt like, we just felt like we wanted to make a particular flavor of something. An album that had a particular mood and a particular use for people in a certain situation or in a certain frame of mind. And so... it's something that you can maybe listen to when you need it.
Yeah.
And because we could just keep trying to do the same record over and over again, but maybe because of what some of us were going through in our own lives, it's like that's just what we needed
right
at the moment for ourselves. And I feel like maybe there's other people that might appreciate that in a certain time.
You've had other songs like that as well, like Fix You, for example. Yeah. It's maybe one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, thanks, man.
And it's something that you get in the mood for.
But you don't put it on, you know, at a nightclub.
Not usually.
Do you know what I mean? So I know that because our band is like a big thing, it's sometimes surprising when you don't always go big.
Right.
And so it was a definite conscious decision, and we'll see if it resonates with anybody. But for me, it was like, we want to make this flavor of ice cream, and we understand that not everyone will be into ice cream that day.
What about the idea of not listening from beginning to end? Like, I don't really listen to an album from the beginning to the end. Is this made that way? Or
it is. It works. Really, it works either way if you do it like that.
Well, six albums in, it's great that you guys are still able to challenge yourself and do things different musically. And I love this record so much. I mean, it's definitely Coldplay, but it's Coldplay taken to another level, to a different level. And I think that's what's exciting about it. We have so much more that we want to talk about this record, and also about the TV special, because this is pretty big time, Chris. They don't give TV specials to everybody. So the fact that you have an hour-long Coldplay Ghost Stories TV special that airs this Sunday night on NBC is awesome, and I can't wait to hear all about it. We'll take a quick break, come back. Chris Martin is our guest from Coldplay. The album is called Ghost Stories. You can pre-order it now on iTunes. You can win tickets to see them live in less than an hour from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back on. Our friend Chris Martin in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show from the band Coldplay. Long-awaited new record is called Ghost Stories, coming out on Monday. Coldplay's sixth album. The show at Royce Hall, UCLA, is Monday as well, and we've got tickets you can win in a few minutes. By the way, not doing Coldplay fans any favor by playing so few and so tiny venues so far around. What's going on, Chris?
Well, I think like you were saying about the music, is that what we just made is really quite personal and intimate, and we felt like if we went out and did arenas and stadiums, it might sort of not resonate with what we've just made. And so instead we're doing an 8-show tour that plays to a total of 9,000 people.
Yeah. What about a major tour? Is that still in?
No, not for this
not
album.
Not for this album at all.
We've done this TV special, which was kind of what we did instead. We put all of our energy and, to be quite honest, all of our money into that.
Mm-hmm. 8 shows is really just a pub crawl. That's all that is.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about the TV show.
So we always wanted to do this film where we would build a 360 structure inside a soundstage, like where they made The Wizard of Oz. And so we did. And we made all these, with our friends, these projections, and we just wanted to have like an immersive thing. I think it comes from being up at Griffith Park and going into the observatory and feeling like sometimes it's nice to be wrapped up in something.
Right.
And it sort of represents the album, and it's the same thing. It's like, if you need it, go in there. But if you don't worry about it.
Is that a difficult thing to do?
Yes. It's difficult. And
it's clearly not touring. It's a whole different medium.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we would have liked to tour it, if I can be totally honest. We'd like to tour it, but it's too expensive.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money to build it. And so we couldn't afford to go on tour with it.
It sounds like an amazing set, and it sounds like it's going to be amazing TV. So it's this Sunday night on NBC at 7 o'clock. And you play the whole album from start to finish?
Yeah, but on the TV special, it's only 6 of them, and then 3, you know, popular songs that we also
wrote. Okay. Speaking of songs, Magic has been a number one record here at K-Rock. It's a huge hit, and now we're playing this Sky Full of Stars, which is amazing song, and this one had a little different origin than a lot of Coldplay songs, right?
Well, not a different origin. It had a different journey. What happens with our songs often is they get sent from the universe, however they come. I don't know where they come from, but they, in the middle of the night, they come through, and then I take it to the rest of the band, and then it gets layered up, you know, like a car being built or something. This one, because the rest of the band weren't here, I took it first to this guy Tim, who's also known as Avicii.
Sure.
Because I was excited to see what he would do with it, and then he put loads of his great stuff on it, and then I took it to the rest of the band. So it got produced before we'd really written our parts, and then we wrote all the parts. And this is a very boring answer.
It's not. It's kind of interesting.
It's so technical, but so basically, someone fresh came in and, you know, helped me do the demo of it, essentially.
And how did the other guys receive that when you told them, hey, by the way, I cheated on you with Avicii, here's our song, and she's the new girlfriend, and you're going to have to just let her live
well,
with us?
Well, at first they were saying, well, do you mean you just want it to be just like this? But I said, no, we want to then do the normal process. So by the time we finished, we'd done it exactly the same way we do all the other things, but it had this sort of fresh injection at the beginning, which was really refreshing, and it was the last song that we wrote for the album, so I was able to say, I know exactly where this has to go, and this is why we need this song. And so the rest of the band were very gracious as usual and said, okay, well, we trust you, and let's keep rolling.
It's a wonderful song.
Hey, thanks, man. That means a lot to me.
It really is, but it, you know, it's one of those songs that I feel like I will listen to forever and never understand what it's supposed to mean. It's just, it gives you a feeling when you hear it, you know what I mean? It's
yeah,
just,
that's okay. I don't need to explain what it means. Feel the same way, by the way. It's like I was saying about the down-temponess of things. With that song, I was like, this just is what it is, and I can't really explain it or excuse it. I love it. And if you don't like it, don't worry about it. Go and do something else. But this is what I'm singing, and I'm really into it.
But that's sort of a personal thing. I mean, is that difficult to work up that thick a skin where you go, I really love this, and I hope people do, but if they don't,
yeah, well, you understand. I'm sure you get responses to what you do, and if you do something a bit left or right, it's different.
But we run it for hours a day after every show, Chris.
I do the same thing, but
it does take thicker skin.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think this time around, it's like, I have to stick to my guns, or we have to stick to our guns and say, this is what we wanted to do, and it's okay. However you feel good about it, it's okay. Don't worry.
I think I first heard that song on the promo for the NBA.
Yeah.
Round one.
I heard it on there as well.
Did you? That was great.
I never imagined it would look so good with basketball montage, but I loved it. Like, we don't even need to make a video.
It's nice that you've been doing this job for a long time, but there are still new things happening for you guys. There are still things that surprise you. Do you look at bands like U2 that have been around for 40 years and go, or however long it's been, and imagine yourself like what it's going to be like in Coldplay in 10 years or in 15 years or in 20 years? Or are you really just a year-by-year guy?
I think the truth is it's day-by-day because the world is so crazy and colorful and scary and amazing that I just feel like every day we're given is a real blessing. And this is maybe getting too hippie for you.
People should say that and people should hear that. I mean,
And also it makes you put everything into that day and or that song. So if we're in that place in 10 years, that's amazing. But if we're not, that's okay.
Have you ever, you know, most lead singers of bands, you know, whether it's Mick Jagger or Gwen Stefani, eventually get the itch to do something without the other guys and do a solo record. Has that ever been attractive to you at all, Chris?
No, I did 2 days on The Voice. That was enough without the other guys.
That's all you can do? Don't you guys play next week?
We play on it, yeah. So sometimes I like go and write for other people just for fun. But I'm well aware that the talent that I got given is best presented with
Those other guys.
Yeah, if we've got a chemistry. That's the only thing we have in our favor, really, that other people don't have. Other people can play better or sing better, but they don't have that chemistry.
You ever write a song that starts out, you're writing it for somebody else, and then you go, no, this is for me.
We have a song called Paradise started that way, and a new one that will be on something else. It happens quite a lot.
It does.
Yeah.
So you don't know. It's too good for someone else. It's fine.
It's not too good. It's just that you think, you sort of get the song by thinking about being someone else, and then you realize, actually, I really love that. It happened on a song that will probably come out next year. I can't talk about it because then people will put it on the internet and stuff.
Okay.
But well, I thought it was for someone else, but now I want to ask to do it as a duet because I really like it.
Fantastic.
And the rest of the band do too, so yeah.
Well, the album's called Ghost Stories. As we mentioned, it is long-awaited. It is finally here on Monday. It's available for pre-order through iTunes. If you want to be old school, though, you get a couple of extra bonus tracks if you buy it at Target. If you actually buy the physical album at Target, they've got the bonus tracks. So that's a tip for you if you're a Coldplay completist and you want to have them all. What can we expect for those the few people that are lucky enough to see you at UCLA Monday night? What's that show going to be like?
That show is going to be, it's so tiny. I've never been in Royce Hall. I think it's like it seats about 7.
It's about the size of this room.
I think 7 is correct, yeah.
And I think we've sold almost half the tickets, so that's going to be good.
Come on, you can do it.
Well, if you guys give 3 away, then we're almost there.
So it'll be personal.
Yes, although I have to admit, it's still hard trying to fit the bigger songs with the new, so we're still trying to figure it out. So I don't really know. I've got all weekend to get that together.
Understood. All right. Well, you can win your way into that in less than a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give you a chance to call in and win as we've given away tickets every morning this week at 9 o'clock. Chris, I'm so glad we got to spend a few minutes with you. You really are one of our favorites. We've been talking to you for a long time. We always look forward to you coming by. And best of success to you and the guys, and good luck to you, my friend.
Hey, you're very sweet, and it's very nice that you're so kind. And long may it continue.
Happy to have you back.
Well, it's been like 14 years now, right?
What, are you filling out a diary? What's going on?
Nope. Just taking down some verbatim
Words that came out of your mouth.
Oh, this isn't going to be a picture of that info. Oh, come on.
Hey, don't say it. I won't write it.
Hey, let's revisit a topic we mentioned briefly in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, and that is beanheads. These are people who, predominantly young people, who don't have access to maybe high-quality drugs.
Any drugs.
Who are smoking coffee. I think we have a little bit of the report.
In today's health report, teens are getting their caffeine fix in a way never thought of before. They're smoking it. Coffee smoking is a dangerous new trend that's going viral among teens. We've heard of people eating coffee beans, but smoking them is a whole other thing. There are websites popping up online that will teach kids step by step how to roll their own caffeine stick.
Kids that need to be taught how to do that are idiots.
Everyone knows how to roll, right?
Everybody knows how to roll it, for God's sakes.
Well, when we started talking about smoking coffee yesterday, we ended up getting into a conversation after the show with members of our staff, including Omar in particular, who joins us in studio, about the things that you tried to smoke to get a cheap high when you were young. And we thought it might be fun to hear Omar's story and then maybe take some calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. What did you try to smoke, or did you smoke, to try to get a buzz on? That's that's the topic.
It didn't
on the
have to have worked. It's funnier if it didn't.
Yeah, what I smoked didn't work. You know that a banana peel, the like inner lining that kind of peels off?
Yeah,
the banana peel, or whatever. Yeah. So when I was in high school, I heard if you dry that out, you crush it up, and then you stick it in a pipe and you smoke it, that you would get a high.
Smoke the banana peel,
right? So we'd peel it all off, let it dry, you know, during the day.
That's a long process.
We crushed it up, stuck in the pipe, smoked it, waited for about a half hour, nothing.
You're like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I also smoked oregano by mistake. My buddy wanted to buy some weed,
right,
and he got ripped off. And we didn't find out till later it was oregano. And so we smoked it through a little Coca-Cola can because we couldn't afford a pipe at the time.
Of course.
And we light it up, and we're like, 10 minutes later, oh, you feel something? And we're like, oh, yeah, I think I feel something.
Yeah.
oregano.
You just wanted to so badly.
I just so bad wanted to get high.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's funny. Dave, the King of Mexico, also in studio with us. Dave, you got something to share on this?
Yeah, well, there was this book called The Anarchist Cookbook, which gave you so many different ways to get high, and the banana peels were in there.
Right.
But I tried smoking peanut skins.
Peanut skins?
You know, the little skin on the actual peanut, not the shell. Not the shell.
Okay.
But there's a little skin that's on the peanut.
Okay.
You get a bunch of them, you crush it up.
So it takes even longer.
Yes. You should have seen us. It was horrible.
The amount of energy and effort and patience they put into getting high and never once put that into school.
But it was so much cheaper than trying to buy actual weed.
Unless you count your time.
Yeah, but I used nothing but time. Yeah, exactly.
I
had nothing but time when you're kids. Yeah, so we used the bong, and it's just a nice, just crisp, burning sensation.
Oh, no.
That just kills your throat.
No high at all,
No high at all.
No cheap high quick death?
Uh-uh.
I can't even imagine how labor-intensive it would be to pull the skins off of peanuts to try to smoke. I mean, that just sounds like the worst idea ever, Dave.
And you're going like balls out because I'm going to get so high.
This is going to be so rad.
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Ricardo real quick. Then we got to take a break, but we have plenty of room for your calls. You smoked what? That's the question on the table here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. 1-800-520-1067. Ricardo, thanks so much for calling, dude. What happened?
I smoked cinnamon and nothing happened. Then I tried nutmeg and I got so high.
Wait a minute.
Nutmeg?
No. Wait a minute. So you smoked cinnamon and you got nothing?
Yeah.
Then you went nutmeg and you got high?
Yeah.
On nutmeg?
Yeah.
You know what? There is something about nutmeg, and if you were to, whatever that's from originally, if you were to eat it, I think it's actually poisonous.
Good?
You mean the plant or something?
Yeah. So good?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I kind of remember reading something like that.
What did it feel like, Ricardo, compared to, say, weed?
Man, I'm so high.
Nothing like weed.
What was
What was it? What was the sensation? Because I might need to get some nutmeg.
I just felt alert. Like, I took a walk. Sex was good.
That's not high. That's... No, you can walk and have good sex without smoking nutmeg.
That sounds like you had a cup of coffee is what it sounds like.
Well, I get high off of weed and have great sex.
So all right. Okay, you know? Take it easy.
Yeah, easy with attitude.
Yeah, it's that if you smoke nutmeg, you could get a LSD effect.
And as little as 0.2 ounces could lead to convulsions, and 0.3 could cause seizures.
Let's do it!
All right.
Seizures.
All right, Ricardo. Thanks for the call. Andrea, you hang on. And Andy and Jasmine and Paul, this is right in our listeners' wheelhouse. What'd you smoke? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, while at YMCA camp at Big Bear, me and a bunch of other campers attempted to smoke Lipton tea bags. It was horrible, made the entire room smell like really bad skunk weed, and we all had horrible coughs afterward. Not my proudest moment. We're talking about what you tried to smoke to get high. Some people right now are smoking coffee. That's been in the news lately, but I know our Kevin and Bean listeners can outdo that. Let's go to Bobby. He's on line six to get us going, because Kevin, when you're in jail, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Oh, well, can't you get drugs in jail?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, no, we weren't able to get drugs. I worked in the kitchen, and people were, like, stripping the corn husks off the corn and drying out the hairs. And
what does that do? Does it get you high?
No, it didn't. We actually rolled it in Bible paper because we didn't have any other paper, and it was disgusting. Like, cigarettes on a whole different level. It did not get us high whatsoever.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
You're in jail. You think you finally figured something out.
Right. You think, hey, at least I'm working in the kitchen. I got access to some stuff. But no, not so good.
No.
All right.
No, no.
Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Andy. He's up next. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May?
Hello.
You smoked what?
Well, hey, anyways, when I was in high school, we laced cigarettes with toothpaste, and we tried to smoke that. We got to dry it out and then smoke it.
Cigarettes with toothpaste. Why?
Try to get a buzz or something, but it just tasted like a menthol cigarette. Nothing really happened.
Yeah. Hmm. Is that all of these I'm taking for granted? Somebody else told you it might be a good idea? Like,
yeah, you know, you're just trying to get high at school and stuff, and trying to figure something out. And I also did the banana peels. I also did that too.
And what kind of success did you have with that, Omar? Not so much.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Tastes like a menthol cigarette.
All right. Maybe, you know, like every meat you've never had before tastes like chicken. It sounds like to that guy, to Andy anyway, everything you smoke tastes like menthol, I guess. Let's go to Brandon. He's on line five. He's up next on K-Rock.
Hi, Brandon.
Holiday. Can be in this May. What's going on?
Hello.
What did you smoke?
I smoked catnip one time.
Catnip?
Seems logical.
It works for the cats. You might as well try it, you know?
Sure.
But wait a minute. What do you mean it works for the cats? Do they get high?
Well, it drives them wild, you know, up the wall, so you never know.
Okay, so you smoked catnip. How was that?
Yeah. It tasted like a dirty sock. Good.
That's quite an endorsement. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. On Facebook, Kevin and Bean Facebook's page, Renee writes in, I tried to smoke hollow twigs from a tree. Because they were hollow, I was able to inhale smoke. All I did was get me nauseated, and all I tasted was burning wood. Now that I'm older, I think back to that day, and I ask myself, why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, because it is burning wood.
Right,
of course that's what it would taste like.
All right, how about, let's go to Tony. He's on line eight. He's smoking something I've never even heard of.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, podcast table. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds.
Morning Glory. Is that that's a flower?
It's a flower, yeah. It's actually a very nice flower, but in fact, untreated Heavenly Blue Morning Glory seeds. So
all right.
we went to the nursery, you know, about like, well, if you eat them, they give you an effect like, you know, like a mushroom effect.
Oh, okay. All right.
And did that work?
It's a natural high. Well, so we went to nursery, got the packs, crushed the seeds, smoked them. You know, it altered you definitely. I mean, it felt like, you know, we felt something off of it, but I think the headache coming down off of it was even worse than that.
Yeah,
that
right. Sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You'll get a sensation drinking lighter fluid. It doesn't mean that it accomplishes the goal of getting high. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Tony. It's unbelievable how many different things our listeners have smoked. Look at Andrea. She's on line one.
Yeah. These.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
What did you smoke?
When I was in seventh grade, my friends and I tried smoking raisins.
Raisins?
Lisa, is that your worst nightmare?
I hate raisins.
What? Lisa hates raisins. Why did you? Somebody told you it would give you a high?
Well, there was a show on MTV at the time called Clone High, and it was a really terrible show when I think back to it. But they decided that they were going to try to spoof drugs and peer pressure and stuff like that with smoking raisins. So everyone was smoking raisins, and my friends and I thought it was such a good idea. Like, it would have to work. Why would it not? If they're going to have it blatantly on TV.
How would you wait? How would you assume it would have to work?
It was on TV, Kevin.
How did it work?
It didn't really work.
Didn't really work.
No, nothing from you. All right, nice try. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Kyle. He's on line 7. And here's why Kyle is our people, because he smoked this on a dare.
All right, that's the only acceptable reason so far.
Yes.
Hi, Kyle.
Morning, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
What was the dare?
Well, it was about 10 years ago. I was hanging out with a bunch of friends. We had already gotten really high and picked up some McDonald's. So my friend made the joke, haha, wouldn't it be funny to smoke a chicken nugget? And I said, I'll do it. So I crumbled it up, put it in the pipe, and smoked it.
Smoked a chicken McNugget. And but you didn't even, they didn't even tell you, like, this will get you high? Like, most of the other callers at least got that perception.
They were hopeful from somebody, yeah. Right.
We were already pretty messed up, and I kind of figured, hey, look at me, I can do this, and none of you can't. So I went with it. It just gave me breathing problems and maybe lightheaded, but other than that, no, there wasn't really any.
Did you lie and tell them this is awesome, you guys should all do it?
No.
Come on!
What a waste of a good chicken McNugget, as far as I'm concerned. Kyle, we appreciate the call. We're going to clear the lines now, change topics here, and look ahead toward this Saturday night at the Shrine. It's the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2014. You want tickets up close in the Party Bus section. VIP reception with the morning show, limited edition Party Bus section t-shirt, and VIP parking. If that sounds like fun, we're looking for contestants to play a game. 1-800-520-1067. Win your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 Party Bus section next on K-Rock. The creepiest sex toy you'll ever hear about coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning on K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lisa, man, we got an update on a story we brought you last week about the Queen, at least someone tweeting on behalf of the Queen at the British Monarchy Twitter account, that the Queen was going to be visiting Belfast in Ireland and visiting the set of the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
We all were a little bit suspicious that the Queen is actually a fan of Game of Thrones.
We don't believe it at all.
I mean, is it possible that an 88-year-old woman and her 93-year-old husband are watching Game of Thrones every Sunday?
With all the boobs and the nudity and the death and no, it's not possible.
It doesn't seem like it's possible. I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find very many 90-year-olds in general who are watching Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So the suspicion was that maybe this was just some younger person in the social media department of the Windsor family who was trying to hip up the Queen a little bit. Hey, the people are into the Game of Thrones. Let's make the Queen into the Game of Thrones. That was our suspicion. Well, now it's happened. Now they have been to Belfast, and I am looking at photographs of the Queen standing in front of the Iron Throne right now.
Okay.
There she is with Prince Philip. She met some of the actors from the show, met the creators of the show. It's not clear here in this article whether she asked any questions or how much she knew about the Game of Thrones, but they did, in fact, actually go there. And whether she was forced into it for a photo op, I don't know. But we wanted to find out more about what's real and what's not in this British Monarchy Twitter account. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line us up somebody? And believe it or not, we have a spokesperson for the Queen. The personal secretary to the Queen is Lord Basil Nichols Smythe, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Lord. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. And I apologize. I called you Lord. Is that appropriate for your title?
Yes, that's quite appropriate. Thank you so much.
All right. So you might have heard before we went to you on the phone, sir, that we were suspicious that Her Majesty perhaps really doesn't watch this TV show. This was all just a photo op. Can you comment?
May I say, in all candor, how dare you, sir?
Okay.
In another place, another time, you and I would be meeting on the field of battle and engaging in a duel.
Well, I'm not interested in anything like that. Just trying to get some facts here, sir.
Well, I don't appreciate you casting disparaging remarks upon my veracity regarding the Queen's Twitter account.
She's 88 years old. She's not watching Game of Thrones.
She is most certainly watching Game of Thrones. It's a favorite television program ever since Breaking Bad went off the air.
See, again, I think this is just something you're saying to make the Queen sound like she's of the people.
That's not the case at all. She is a huge Breaking Bad fan. It brought back memories of her own days slinging meth in the East End.
All right. She's been queen for like 65 years. She never had a slinging meth in the East End phase.
Well, she did go through the period where she was quite the meth addict, and so in order to support her habits, she would go selling it as well. Now, of course, she's simply on the scissor-up.
Okay. Again, I just think you're making stuff up to make her sound hip. None of this is happening,
it
sir.
It absolutely is happening. And if she was here herself, she would tell you. But unfortunately, she's out now. She had to go to the CD store to pick up the new Deadmau5 album.
Okay.
No.
The queen is not raving. She's just not. You're telling lies.
If she was here herself, she would tell you that she's a huge Deadmau5 fan. And of course, I can only speak on her behalf, but I know she loves to drop some E and really enjoys the EDM music.
Okay, we're talking about Queen Elizabeth II, the ruler of Great Britain,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, yes. And, the Royal Majesty is back. Hold on, I have to see what she wants. Okay. Yes, Your Majesty. Yes, one moment. She's just reminding me to get her prepared. Her MMA trainer is coming, so okay. She has to get in shape for a fight. And Dana White has been calling regarding her participating in the UFC.
Okay, you don't have to lie. The Queen is a nice lady. People already like her. You don't have to make stuff up.
I'm not making this up at all. She's been a little backlogged with all the travel, and she's missing out on some training. And she wants to catch up, having spent her time, of course, at Bonnaroo.
She wasn't in Bonnaroo. Look,
she was leading the F. Kanye chant, you know.
The Queen does not know who Kanye West is. She was not in Tennessee for a concert.
She does know. She wasn't said F. Kanye quite vociferously at the top of her lungs. Yes, Your Majesty. No, I haven't forgotten. No, 12 o'clock. Yes, we're just setting up her twerking session. She has to get her twerking in every day, or else she gets quite cranky.
All right. Well, listen.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. No, we'll play Call of Duty in a little bit. So eager to play those video games. Can't get enough of that in Grand Theft Auto.
All right. Lord Nicholsmith. Yes, okay. Yes.
All right. No, I'll tend to it in a second. I'm sorry. I must be going. It's time for her Brazilian wax and her vajazzling.
No!
Manny Guardado from Sun Valley. Thanks a lot for listening to the world-famous K-Rock here this morning. You just won Coldplay tickets for Monday at Royce Hall, UCLA. We've got them for you every morning this week right at this time. Also at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. You can go to krock.com for all the details. How do I screw up saying krock.com, by the way?
Yeah, it's new.
I guess so.
Let's talk about Beer Mug and Mother's Day. We were having a conversation in the office yesterday, and Beer Mug told us that he, A, gave his mom a $200 jacket.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, Beer Mug, very generous of you. You shouldn't have.
Well, the flow is up, so
that
I
has
able to afford it.
The K-Rock logo on it.
Wait, what?
Yep.
The kind that they make for employees?
Yes.
I assume?
$200. And then he also gave her a couple of free bobbleheads.
Okay.
And we were having the conversation yesterday, and Beer Mug said these words, and I quote, and Beer Mug, correct me if I'm wrong, but my mom is a fan of jackets. She said those words.
She wears jackets.
Is that? Nope. She doesn't wear. She's a fan.
She's a fan.
Is okay. That accurate?
That is accurate.
All right.
But wait, Muggs. This is weird. It's can you imagine another scenario where somebody would give a jacket from their workplace to their parent? Like your mom doesn't work at K-Rock. Well, why would she have a K-Rock jacket?
I figured, you know, I'm her son.
Right.
She doesn't really listen to the show, but every day, you know, when I see her, she asks me about how work went.
And every day you go, I was terrible. I'm going to get fired any day.
That's besides the point,
okay.
Kevin.
All right.
But no, her son works at the world famous K-Rock. I'd figure, you know, she'd want to wear it proud.
But she doesn't listen to the show or the station?
Not really, no.
Then why do you think she wants a care? Look,
being she's a fan of jackets,
why don't you just buy me a Miami Heat jersey? Because I never watch any of their games. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Because I'm not your son, Bean, and I don't work for the Miami Heat.
Good point.
Okay.
Schooled you.
What was her reaction? What was her reaction when she unwrapped the, if you even bothered to wrap it?
Could I guess?
Yeah.
Her reaction was, oh. That's interesting.
That's kind of how it went. Yeah.
And that's a thumbs up for you.
Yeah,
as long as she didn't throw it back in your face, you're happy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have Mama Mugs on the phone.
go to her now.
Okay.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Hi, hi.
How are you?
Happy Mother's Day to all those that are listening.
And to you as well. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I apologize on behalf of the nation with what your son did for you for Mother's Day.
Well, I thought it was really very thoughtful of him. I equated it to someone giving their mother a broom on Mother's Day.
Oh, really, Mom? You're going to do me like that?
He said you were so excited.
Really? He said you loved it.
Or diet pills, you know, something very heartfelt and thoughtful.
He said you loved it.
Well, I just, in my mind, made it equivalent to deodorant or mouthwash or something like that.
Really expensive deodorant
mouthwash. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mom. That's not how you acted when I gave you the jacket.
No,
because she's your mom.
I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but on second thought,
yeah,
you know,
why not?
I thought, oh my God, how many mothers received hair dye on Mother's Day? You know, something very warm and fuzzy.
But Mom, are you like not always asking me how work went, and you always want to know what's going on at work? And...
Absolutely, I love. I'm very proud of you. And
you should. First of all, you shouldn't be proud of him. Hey, Mama, does Mug still live at home?
Well, on occasion.
Okay.
So, yes.
So, I wondered if the reason you ask about work is to find out if he's ever going to be in a position where he can move out and finally give you the peace you so richly earned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It. You know, when he's in the house, it's like three extra people in there.
Yeah.
House.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of food. Your food bill must just skyrocket.
Okay, good. It makes a beeline from the garage to the refrigerator. I am not kidding you.
Oh, we know. Oh, we don't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
So is it likely that you will ever wear this K-Rock jacket?
Well, I like jackets. I like mink jackets, and I like sporty jackets.
Could I ask you a question? Would you say you're a fan of jackets?
I'm a fan of jackets.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, good.
I support my son.
But this is like, my kid drew something, so I want to praise him no matter how it came out, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
I have every drawing from kindergarten that Beer Mug made.
So you won't burn it or sell it, but it will stay in your closet.
Well, I will take it out on a July afternoon. It has leather on it, so when I ride my motorcycle, I will wear it.
We hired the wrong family member, you guys. Can you work for us?
Oh, you guys are fun.
Yeah.
I do listen to you from time to time.
You gotta. How do you not hate us? Because we're not always 100% kind to your son.
I know that. Yeah. And believe me, I know that. But I'm not always kind to him either.
All right, go ahead. So we're in the same boat. We have to put up with Beer Mug.
Right.
You can't get rid of him. For some reason, we can't get rid of him.
That's about correct.
All right. So let me ask you this, Mama Beer Mug. What were you hoping for your son? Like, where did you hope he would be at this stage of his life?
A lawyer.
A lawyer,
yeah. So does he ever quote the law to you guys?
No, he doesn't know anything about the law.
Oh, like pay me more because this is in the...
No.
Yeah.
No. The only thing we ever hear about the law with him is him trying to figure out how to get out of all the traffic tickets he gets.
Oh,
that's the extent of his interest in the law is how can I get my cop not to show up?
Now, Mom.
He also has a gambling problem. You're aware of that,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, God.
Mom, are you aware of that? He's come
yeah.
in several times to say he's like $3,000 in the hole. They want the money and he doesn't have
know.
It.
He really believes he could get rich quick.
He sure
and I
does.
I tell him it's the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. That's right. Muggs, you wanted to say something before we have to say
yeah. that. Now, the jacket, okay, you weren't thrilled about it. But what else did I get you, Mom?
Really?
Why don't you tell everybody else what
thrilled.
I got you?
It was very, very sweet of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
What do you want her to say? The bobbleheads that you got for
yeah.
free at Dodger Stadium?
No, I got them from here, number one.
Okay, for free?
But it doesn't matter if it's for free. It's a thought that counts, Kevin.
Well, those are my favorite.
Of
right.
course.
Yeah, because
that's something you're interested in. You love the Dodgers, of course.
I love the Dodgers. I don't care if they were free, purchased, or stolen. I love them.
You don't care if they're stolen.
I
I think the bobbleheads were very thoughtful, Muggs. I really do.
I do, too. I just, my face lit up.
But on the jacket, a swing and a miss?
Well, no, I'm going to absolutely cherish it.
Yeah! Said with perfect sincerity. Great read. Bear Mug
is completely happy with that.
I know he is.
All right.
And I chastised him for spending so much money on my Mother's Day gift.
Well, you're very sweet to not break his heart. And we're delighted that we got a chance to catch up with you. Before we say goodbye, will you say those two words that all listeners want to hear right now?
I love you, Bear Mug.
Nope. No! Come on, Mama. You can do better than that.
I love you, Kevin and Bean.
Nope. Come on.
Mama, it rhymes with...
Schmeier Schmeermug.
There, yeah.
It rhymes with what?
Schmeier Schmeermug.
Schmeier Schmeermug.
Never mind.
No, it rhymes with it, Mom.
Never mind.
Fire my mom.
Right.
Fire your mom
until this point. Want to see the neighborhood live here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space? We'll give you a chance to call in and win that in about... 5 minutes or so. Within the next 5 minutes, you can get in here to see the neighborhood. You can go to krock.com for all the details. It's going to be next Tuesday afternoon. You can also register to win online, too.
Bean, you know how our attention span is that of a gnat. It's about 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And we find something that we think is funny, and we do it, and then we're done with it. We move on. We can't just keep doing the same thing because we have no attention span whatsoever.
Right.
Larry Flint, who publishes Hustler magazine, has been sending every single congressman a Hustler magazine every month since 1983.
Wow! That is persistence.
1983. And a bunch of congressmen have said, hey, please stop sending us that. And he won't. He just sends it every month. It actually went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said he's allowed to do it. And so he does it every single month. He sends it in a manila envelope so they never know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he sends him a Hustler.
I bet he gets a kick out of it every single month as his intern is taking the Hustler magazine to send to Nancy Pelosi. He goes, that's so funny. I'm doing that again for 30 years. Well, you know, Larry, he's a First Amendment crusader. People remember the movie, The People versus Larry Flint. I mean, he's a guy who has fought for a lot of, a lot of his constitutional rights. And he looks at this as a First Amendment thing. He's allowed to petition the government. This is his way of contacting a congressperson, which is allowed by law. But it's hilarious because you know they hate it. You know the last thing in the world any of these congressmen want is to be, you know, somehow photographed with a Hustler magazine in their office.
Yeah, publicly they hate it, Bean.
Publicly they hate it. Exactly, right. Yeah. Well, we wanted to find out more about this and if this is as much fun for Larry as it seems like just reading the article. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line up Mr. Flint for us? It's been a while since we had the man on the program, but he joins us now here on K-Rock. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're kind of chuckling
not
a little
good.
Bit.
I'm still in a wheelchair.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't
good,
walk. But...
as good as I can be, I guess.
Right. Sure. So. I mean, you're still living a pretty good life, though. You got a lot of beautiful ladies around you. You run a successful business.
Your wheelchair is made of gold.
Yeah, solid gold.
Yeah.
I have a Hustler Casino as well.
Right. Yeah, of course, yeah. And the store down there on Sunset, everything's going well.
Things are all right, except for that whole can't walk thing.
Right. Getting shot thing, yeah. So, Larry, what is it about sending a Hustler magazine to all 535 members of Congress every month for 30 years that keeps you going? How do you maintain the enthusiasm to keep this bit up?
Well, I get the enthusiasm just by reading the paper every day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you look at some of these members of Congress, they just got their head up their butts.
Right, right.
And so I send them pictures of people with other things up their butts. And I'm just trying to get them to loosen up a little bit.
I see.
And I'm always hoping that, you know, one issue at a time, if I can change their attitude of one congressman,
right,
then all is worth it.
I see. I got you. So basically you're just trying to open their eyes a little bit and maybe get them to think a little bit outside of their very narrow points of view.
Lighten up.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I do get a kick out of imagining some Mormon congressman from Utah.
Right.
Getting that envelope and open. Ah! I'm
I'm hoping to kill one of them someday. Just with a heart attack, just grabs his chest and falls over.
Wow. I see. And for folks who don't know, if you've not seen a Hustler magazine, it's about the most extreme, anywhere close to mainstream porn magazine that's printed. I mean, you haven't lost a step.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, it, you know.
It's pretty extreme.
Well,
there's a lot of fluids, Larry.
It's a matter of, you know, perspective.
A lot of fluids.
Well, it's all just, you know, bodies.
Right.
Right.
Body parts.
Yeah. Doing things.
We've all got them.
Right.
Right.
We've all got fluids.
Sure.
Some of us more than others.
Sure. Yeah.
Some of us have bags to collect those fluids.
Oh, Larry.
It's just life, fellas. You have to, you know, loosen up around these things.
All right.
Well, we just wanted to say we found it very amusing that you have been continuing this since 1983. That is some stick-to-itiveness that we have to applaud, sir.
Actually, the way magazine sales are now, I'm publishing the magazine just to send it to Congress.
Oh, is that right?
We don't really sell that many copies anymore. So now I just keep the presses rolling just to send the copies to Congress.
Well, it's worth it. I think you're doing the right thing, Mr.
Flint. Yeah, I got my shipment now. I send out this month's batch out to Congress now, so I better get these in the mail.
Okay, well, we'll let you go.
I'm going to walk them over the post box here and just take them over.
Oh, no.
Larry, no. Larry, no. No, no.
Larry. Oh, no. You can't walk. Larry.
I just said at the beginning of the interview I couldn't walk.
Right. We want you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 with us. It's a week from Saturday. We got tickets in the second row. You can win coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you know who else is going to be there at the Weenie Roast that we haven't seen in a while?
Avicii.
Miss Double December.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Our friend Britt Bread, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Brittany.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hello.
So, April Foolishness, we're all backstage hanging out, catching up, and I'm sitting there talking to Brittany, and she told me something so shocking that I just shook my head. I couldn't believe it was real. I would have more easily been told she had a penis than what she told me on the couch that day. That's
well,
how surprised I was.
Let's not jump to conclusions. Do you have a penis?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
All right, good. No, that's good. That's a good thing.
Brittany, can you imagine what it was you told me that surprised me so that night?
It was about The Secret.
The Secret.
It was about The Secret. Mm-hmm. Now, The Secret is a thing from back in 2006, it turns out. It was a very popular movie and book, and the cult of Oprah spread it, and it was a self-help movement. Tell us about The Secret and how you came to believe in it, Brittany.
Well, I heard about The Secret in 2007. I actually watched the movie, and it pretty much changed my life. It changed the way that I thought about things. It changed how I attracted things to myself. Basically, what The Secret is like attracts like. Whatever you think about, you receive and you bring to you. And I know that's hard for some people to understand because, you know, you're like, oh, I have these negative thoughts. No way I'm attracting that to myself. But actually, you are attracting that to
All right,
yourself.
But let's clarify. There is a difference between a positive mental attitude, which mm-hmm. everybody agrees on helps.
Yeah.
If you're positive in life, better things happen to you. And The Secret, in which one of the things they say is, if you need money, close your eyes and picture a check coming to your mailbox, and it will.
Yes.
Now, that's dumb.
No, it's not dumb
Brittany.
At all. I've used The Secret for many things in my life since 2007.
How many checks have you received? Because if you truly believe in The Secret, you would spend all day thinking about checks, and they would arrive by the truckload.
Well, of course we have lives, and we have to focus on other things.
Oh.
I have received checks, and I have received jobs and thinking about those checks that I wanted, and, you know, the checks did come to me. I use The Secret for parking spots. When I'm at the mall and there's no parking, I'm like, I'm going to turn the corner, and there's going to be a parking spot waiting for me on the left-hand side. And sure enough, there's a parking spot.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you hadn't had that thought in your beautiful little head about The Secret, do you think that spot wouldn't have been there when you turned the corner?
I mean, I'll never know.
Yeah, you will. The answer is it still would have been there. Right? I mean, it's not like when you thought that,
a physical car disappeared from that spot. Right?
Right. But,
okay.
I mean,
Brittany, you told me a story when we spoke at April Foolishness, and I don't remember what the details are. I hope you do, about a piece of jewelry that you used the laws of attraction to obtain.
Yes. It was a guest watch, and it took me 2 years to get. But I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and I eventually got it. And it was crazy because I saw it online one day, and I said, I really, really want that watch, but I don't want to buy it for myself, so I'm just going to think about it and focus on it, and I'm going to attract it to myself.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
So how did you end up getting the watch?
Well, I saw it a second time a year later in San Francisco, and out of nowhere, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's the watch that I want. I still really, really want it. And then a year later, I was walking through the mall with my mom, and she points at the same watch that I wanted, which I didn't tell her that I wanted it.
Sure.
And she said, hey, isn't that watch cute? You should get it. I'll buy it for you. And I was completely shocked. I'm like, I never even told her that I wanted that watch. So
do you think that somehow the vibrations in your head, like, put it out there in the universe, and she had a little antenna up that just picked up on that, and maybe even subconsciously she did what you wanted her to do?
I mean, I attracted it to myself. You put out those energies, and it comes to you. You don't have to worry about how you're going to get it. You just have to focus on it. You have to manifest it. You have to believe that you already have it. You have to picture yourself having it. I would look at my wrist and say, yeah, this watch, I'm going to have that watch on my wrist one day.
It would be so cool to be hot. Don't you think? You know what I mean? Like, because you go through life and you say stuff like this and people go, uh-huh, yeah, oh, sure, you're hot.
Well, I even used the secret to win Miss Double December.
Or you earned winning Miss Double December.
Or but, I put a tennis ball in my mouth. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But, Kevin, I mean, look, I agree with you, and I thought the same thing. I thought if Brittany gets pulled over and the secret, you know, she uses the secret to not get a ticket. Well, the truth is she didn't get a ticket because she, look at Brittany, right?
Right, right.
But, and I agree with you on that, but that doesn't work on your mom. Your mom doesn't buy you a watch out of nowhere because you're pretty. Right,
right? Exactly. No, definitely. Since I was 18, my mom has not been like, here's this, here's that, you know? Things aren't handed to me that way.
So, Bean, are you now firmly in the crazy Brittany camp?
I want to make sure Brittany still likes me. That's all I care about.
What's on, if this doesn't violate the rules of the secret? By the way, we'd be fascinated to talk to other Kevin and Bean listeners who believe in and use the secret. I don't know that we've ever talked about that, certainly not since the thing became
when
popular all those years ago.
Out? When did the whole thing hit?
2006.
2006.
Yeah. It was the movie first and then a book.
Oh, okay.
Oddly, yeah. So if you are also a believer in the secret like Brittany, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. My question for you, Britt, was going to be, if this doesn't violate the rules of the secret, is there something that you're wishing on now, something that you're thinking about that you're trying to attract toward you right now?
It's not Fight yes. Club, Bean. She could talk about it.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if you're not allowed to say it.
If you do want something, it's great to say it out loud.
Okay.
I always tell people the things that I want, the things that I'm trying to attracting. And
sure.
Even more so when it happens and I'm like, see, I told you.
So, okay. Okay. So hold on. So hot chick telling people what she wants. It happens.
Miraculously, stuff just shows up.
How does that work?
That guy just got me an apartment, you guys. I didn't have anything to do with it.
That's crazy.
So what is it? Like, what's your get right now that you're hoping for?
Right now, I really want to go on a yacht.
A yacht. Done.
Yeah, I want to go on the ocean. I love the ocean. I love
done.
The sail.
Done.
Now, when Bean says done, that's because he's under the control of the secret?
No, it's because I'm going to rent a yacht and head on down. That's why. So you want to go on a yacht. That's what you're hoping is going to happen.
Yeah, okay. I just want to be on the ocean, have a nice, relaxing time, and enjoy with my friends. So,
now, you know, those are available, right?
Yeah.
You could actually go on a yacht. It might cost you a little something.
I suspect that some Kevin and Bean listener has already offered you that on your Instagram page right now, Brittany, now that they've heard you say that. Got an invitation. All right. Well, listen.
I didn't have to worry about how I was going to do it.
We're going to say goodbye to you now so you can go off and pray or whatever it is you do. And then we're going to take calls from other listeners who are benefiting from The Secret. But a fascinating topic, Brittany. And listen, we'll see you a week from Saturday at the Weenie Roast, okay?
I can't wait. I'll see you guys soon.
Did you think, hey, I sure would like to go to a Weenie Roast?
I did.
There you
I
go. Did. The secret, people. The secret. All right, you're crazy, but we still love you. Bye.
I love you.
Okay, bye. Don't disparage Brittany, by the way.
She already likes you, Bean. You don't have to say that.
Okay, then she's kind of crazy. <You're good. laughs> We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-10.
More than one listener has pointed out that if The Secret really worked, Beer Mug would not still have a job at K-Rock.
Oh, true.
Let's put it that way. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 to find out if you believe in The Secret as our own Miss Double December 2014 Brittany does. We got so many people, by the way, 7 years later who are still into The Secret. Let's go to Ralph real quick. He's on line one. He was our first caller through. Apparently, The Secret has changed his life, Kevin. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, Lisa, Bean, Kevin, Ralph, everyone Hello. Else.
So the secret is you picture it, you believe it, and it comes to you.
Yeah, dude, you don't have to hope for it. You have to, like, picture and visualize it.
And what did you picture and visualize?
Everything from winning, like, jackpots, multiple jackpots at the casino for a night, winning tickets with you guys, meeting Lisa at the Acoustic Christmas, just everything. Not hoping, it's visualizing. Make it happen.
So do you honestly believe if you didn't spend the brain power on The Secret that none of those things would have happened for you?
Yeah, no. It's just there's times I've hoped for it. That's when it didn't happen.
Oh, you didn't believe enough.
Yeah, yeah. So hope, if you, it's different when you hope than when you go ahead and just visualize it and try to make it happen.
I mean, what's the downside, Kevin, if Ralph is doing it and it's working for him and it's making him happy? Is there any reason he shouldn't do The Secret?
Well, here's the thing. Again, I think positive thinking goes a long way toward getting what you want.
Yeah.
But why doesn't, if Ralph's getting what he visualizes, why doesn't he visualize the lottery? Why doesn't he win $250 million when the lottery is there?
Mm-hmm.
Ralph?
Rob's going, well, I never thought of that.
You think it's too small?
Some people, you know, but I don't like to play the lottery.
You don't like to play the lottery. Okay, yeah. Good.
Who wants $250 million? All right, thank you for the call, Ralph. Appreciate it so much, sir. Let's go to Emily real quick. She's on line two. Talk about a life-changing event. Emily, tell us what The Secret did for you.
Hi. So I basically struggled with weight, like my entire life, and I finally came across this book. And it absolutely changed my life. I listened to everything the book said, like picturing what I wanted to be my ideal weight. And I kept thinking positive thoughts, and it worked.
All right. Now, hold on a second, Emily. Did you change anything else? I don't know, like what you ate, the amount of exercise, any of that. Or did you do the exact same things you were doing when you were heavy?
I did the exact same things.
And all of a sudden, you just lost how much weight?
Sorry, what?
How much weight did you lose?
I lost 35 pounds in 6 months.
Nope.
All right. Then explain to me why Oprah didn't lose the weight.
Yeah, she's still fat.
She's the queen of The Secret.
Yeah, I actually saw it on her show.
Right, I know. But why is she still fat if The Secret works?
I'm not sure. I just constantly kept thinking about it.
Okay. All right. So you used your brain power to melt the pounds away.
In a way, yes.
The universe did it, Bean.
Like, I didn't have any negative thoughts. I didn't actually kept telling myself, oh, I'm so big, I'm so fat, I don't like it. I just kept telling myself, okay, I'm going to be my ideal weight. I'm going to look skinny, and I'm going to be slim, and I'm going to be toned.
Well, if that works, that's fantastic news for our listeners. Thanks so much. Let's take one more. This is Epic. He's on line eight. He's got an oddball thing, although I certainly applaud what he wished with his laws of attraction.
Did he wish for a new name?
Hi, Epic. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Kevin and Bean, good morning.
I'm guessing your name is Eric?
No, my name is Epic.
Epic. Okay. All right, good.
All right, so check this out. So, a while back, a couple of years ago, my girlfriend started, got all into this thing, and at first I thought she was a weirdo, just probably like the way you guys are saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And eventually, like, the little things started, like the previous callers were saying, you know, she was winning free tickets to shows, she was getting things, so I started seeing, like, some, you know, a difference in there. So I started going along with it. I started getting all into the positive vibes and everything she was feeding into me, and long story short, things started getting better, and then eventually things got worse because me and my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, broke up.
Right.
Well, instead of thinking positive that we're going to get back together. I thought positive that I was going to get a way hotter chick than her, and I actually nailed her.
So you actually upgraded in the girlfriend department, even though the girlfriend's the one that told you about the secret?
Yeah, exactly. So eventually that ended up happening, and she ended up getting in this, my ex-girlfriend ended up getting in this little car accident where, like, her head kind of somewhat went through the window. And
oh, my God.
Kind of somewhat went through the window.
Oh, the secret really works.
It really does.
I want her to get in an accident where her head sort of goes through the window.
So that my much hotter girlfriend and I can sit over here and laugh at her. All right, Epic, we're out of time, but thank you so much for the call. I guess you got to be worried about using the secret for evil, too, right?
Sure.
Whatever.
Listen,
We have so many more calls. I'm so sad that we don't have time to take because many of our listeners believe in or using the secret. But unfortunately, we do have to clear the lines right now and say goodbye to you because we are going to open them back up again for tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014.
It's coming up. I was just thinking that I wish we were going to do that.
Boom! And the secret brought it to your life.
So great.
Same phone number, though, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. We'll give you a chance to play a game next for Weenie Rose tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What time is it? It's Doto time. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babe!
Kevin Bean, there's one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called her?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously,
that's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the international man of mystery. He is the Asian sensation. He is Doto, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doe.
Hey, Kevin Bean, I was just curious. How's the interview, by the way? I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
We have some highlights right now. Now, thanks, you went out with Omar, and and you went to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you spent, I don't know, maybe the first 30 seconds talking to Bean and I, who were not there.
Hey, Kevin Bean, it's Doto. I'm down here in the Hollywood Boulevard with Omar. I'm doing some interviews. And I need some babes, Kevin Bean. Some Chinese babes and maybe some Caucasians. Whatever, right, Kevin? I mean, this is America, man.
It is indeed. Doto, did you meet any nice ladies down there while you were doing the interviews?
You know what? A lot of them, yes, but a lot of them were kind of in a rush, Bean.
Yeah. Well, they're busy. They're down there shopping or whatever. I understand. Sure.
Maybe you and I can go shopping, Bean.
Yes! Yes, please.
So what kinds of people were you looking forward to talk to?
Just pretty much about any nationality, Kevin Bean. I like it. I asked them, are they from Canada? I also talked about healthcare, and I asked them, do they think I can make it in entertainment?
Yeah. Well, you absolutely can make it in the entertainment industry. There's no question about that.
Bean, do you see any problem with him interviewing Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin's been dead for a long time.
Right.
What do you mean? Are you
Charlie Chaplin? My name is Doe, and how are you doing from K-Rock? Hey, can I ask you a quick question? To succeed in show business, you think is easy work or hard work? And how many hours a week do I need to do it a day? 7 hours a day. Do I need to take classes? Thank you.
Did Charlie Chaplin have a lot to say?
No,
he
didn't say. He's like, he's deaf.
Oh, he's deaf?
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, man.
I'm sorry to hear that, too.
What happened?
He's deaf.
There was a guy down there dressed as Charlie Chaplin who really is deaf?
Yeah. It was a guy who was just dressing and just acting like Charlie. I knew that, Bean.
Oh, you were in on that.
Yeah, because I thought that we all know that people in the Hollywood Boulevard, they're trying to make it, so they're trying to do what they can be.
Right, sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. You saw a woman walking her dog. You hit it off with her.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I ask you a quick question? A very nice dog. What type of dog is it?
Dachshund.
Dachshund. I used to have a dog like this when I was a kid.
Good for you.
Similar to a Cocker Spaniel.
No.
Not
even close.
Can I pet him?
Hi, dog. It's a her.
To her.
Not good with the details of the pets.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Doto, why would you say, I'm cooking?
Was that just enthusiasm for how well the interviews were going, Doe?
Well, I guess I was cooking out there, Kevin Bean.
I'm cooking!
Okay. All right.
So he was cooking. Good. The reason he said that is because he was cooking.
He was cooking. Okay.
Omar is down there helping.
Yes.
And was trying to sort of point you in the right direction, and he saw somebody that you should interview and told you.
Why don't you go try to talk to Yoda over there?
Which one?
You know who Yoda is?
In the red?
Do you know who Yoda is?
I'm not sure.
Have you ever seen Star Wars?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Star Wars. Oh, Yoda. That's the...
That'd be the green guy over there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't interview him.
Why didn't you interview Yoda?
I was a little bit distracted. It was just too much noise, Kevin Bean. That's all. Sorry.
Too much noise. Okay. People down there like to sell CDs and whatever they're hawking for that day.
Yeah,
Excuse me. Can I ask you a question? What type of CDs are you selling?
Rap music.
Rap music. I love rap music too. When I was in high school, I go crazy for rap music. You know why? Because when I used to have ADD, rap music kind of keeps me wild.
Man,
you know, it keeps me dancing, woo, like that.
Dance, keep you moving and stuff. That's right.
Yeah, it keeps me to think about the babes.
So, did you buy a CD from him?
I didn't get a CD, Kevin Bean.
Did not get a CD.
Okay, all right. That's good to know that you love rap music though. Who's your favorite artist?
Michael Jackson, Kevin Bean.
He's a great rapper. Yeah. He's a hell of a rapper. No,
yeah. do you like rap music, Bean?
Absolutely I do, Bean does, yes.
I'm not sure that Bean is a big fan of Michael Jackson's rap, though.
Yeah, but I thought that the music you love was Coast 103, Bean.
No, I mean, I like lots of different kinds of music.
He burned you!
I'm a rap fan as well. All right, who else did Doe talk to?
He talked to a guy dressed as Spider-Man.
Have you ever done movies? Because Spider-Man's my favorite movie.
Thanks.
And have you ever done any? Because I thought I might see you in the movie.
Yeah, I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, perfect. Maybe. Oh, thank you very much.
All right. That wasn't your fault, Doe. That guy was a dick.
Wow.
Honestly, I think most of those people that are dressed up are drunk.
I knew the dress up kid, Kevin. I knew what to expect. Kevin.
So you were joking about him being in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that was a good effort on Doe's part. That was certainly not his fault. That guy gave you nothing back, Doe. And sometimes that happens when you interview somebody.
Of course I know that, Bean. I'm not blind, Bean. I know how show business works.
Yes, you
That's
do.
That's true.
Yes, you do.
He does know how show business works. Sometimes, though, you do find somebody that gives you gold.
Go interview that guy who's almost falling asleep on top of the stairs.
Which one?
The guy who's falling asleep on top of the stairs.
That guy?
Yep.
I don't want to. I don't.
Go, dude. Go.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a quick question? How many years do you think it takes to succeed in show business?
Thank you very much.
Well, now you have your answer, Doto.
Yeah.
Doto, international man of mystery, man.
When can you do it again?
It's up to you guys, man.
Today?
No, I'm too busy. I have plans to stay, Kevin.
So it's not up to us.
Kevin Bean?
Yes, Doto, go ahead.
When I was doing my those interviews, Bean, I was a little bit nervous, Bean.
No, you sounded great, Doe. You sounded terrific. You did a really good job.
Okay.
I'm serious. We definitely want you to do it because I think you're going to make it in show business.
Okay.
All right, Doe?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay, Doe sounds so bummed out.
Are you all right?
We had a nice time, right?
We all had a good time. That was entertaining.
Of course, Kevin Bean.
You did a good job. We're happy?
Yeah.
Wow, he's always so bummed.
Well, all right, Doe, man. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, sir.
And I like some babes, Bean.
I understand you want some babes as well. Okay.
Sure.
Thanks, Doe.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Bye now.
I'm cooking!